Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre, and this show is for late July 2022. Today, the Mauna Loa Observatory reports that there are 419.35 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere, and there are 2,731 days left until the year 2030. The clock keeps ticking. Well, those of you who have watched the listened to the Climate Minute over the years may have gotten accustomed to a logo, a little image on your screen on your cell phone. When you turn on the Climate Minute, you see it. Well, today is the inauguration of a new Climate Minute logo. It's a beautiful blue sapphire blue, a deep kind of blue violet color. It's got clocks on it. It's beautiful looking. I'm in love with it. And today, I hope you enjoyed looking at it on the way into the show. What's really interesting is that this logo was crafted inside the MCAN intergalactic headquarters of MCAN right here in Boston, where we are thrilled to talk to the person who made this logo. She's Fatima Lopez, who is the marketing strategist and graphic designer for MCAN. Fatima, how are you doing? Welcome aboard.
Hi, Ted. How are you? How's everyone doing?
good. Well, we have a new logo, and were you proud to say that you made it, right?
Yes. I love the logo too. I think it's really beautiful, and I hope everyone likes it too.
So tell me, so let's begin with, you know, marketing strategies and logos. And I joke in my head, I say, okay, I look at a box of Kellogg cereal, that sort of red script, and you know, boom, right off what you're buying, or Campbell's soup, or, I mean, there are these logos out there. Have you given much thought in terms of, strategizing? What is the logo for essentially branding, right? What does it do for you? Why do you have one?
Right. I think it's the foundation of a brand in many ways. I feel like it's what first engages the viewer or the customer or the listener in this case to really listen and engage with the product, or in this case, with the podcast. And this was my first project, so I was so nervous to kind of craft something. And I'm freshly out of college, and I'm really happy that I had the opportunity to do this. And I'm really proud of it. And I really wanted to honor all the great work and research that you've done and kind of put it into one design.
It is so I will describe it. It is a, so there's a background of blue with geometric sort of triangles and dots that at one level I look at, I say, oh, that's almost like stars. But on another, it's just a purely geometry. And then in the center, there's a circle with a little bit of a gradient of almost like blue-violet. And there are a couple of clock faces in it. And the beautiful font. What's the name of the font? Remind me the name of the font you chose.
Oh, the font. Oh, I forget.
That doesn't matter. I mean, so tell me about the images there and why you chose them.
Yeah, so I really wanted to stick with the original blue. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see variations of different blue hues. And I landed on this kind of deeper blue because I thought it contrasted really well with the white. And I really wanted to kind of pay honor to the original logo because it had these kind of geometrical shapes. And I wanted that to be a part of this new design. And that's where the background came in. Mm-hmm. And then I love the title of the podcast. So I really wanted to play with clocks, but I didn't know how I could execute that idea. And while I was kind of brainstorming the design, I was listening to Sadie's song. And for some reason, Sadie's song gave me the inspiration to make the C into kind of like this half clock. Uh-huh. And then everything kind of was designed around that C. And like just I had all these images of how can we integrate all these clocks in very unique ways and make it engaging, simple, and kind of just fun to look at and kind of stick with this like blue pattern. And I came up with this design, and when I finished it, I just knew that this was going to be it. Like, this is where I stopped, because I had all these tweaks in my head. And I had I just had these ideas and I didn't know how to execute them at first. And I had all these different drafts. And when I landed on it, I just knew that this was going to be it.
You know, when you know it's right, you know it's right. And just in passing, Sadie Song, you're referring back to a show a few weeks ago of some of a young climate activist that we talked to, and she had composed a song. We can put up the link to that if anybody wants to hear it. But it's a very, it's a different, that song is an artistic expression. This logo is an artistic expression. And I think that the how do I say it? Processing climate change through art is an enormous issue. Right. And we're just beginning. Right. There are now, you know, because climate change is only 20 years. Right. It takes decades and decades to work out artistic stuff. I mean, do you see yourself in line of doing climate art? I mean, do you let me put it this way. Do you recognize that what you have made is climate art?
I think in the moment I didn't. But after seeing, I think Sadie Song gave me a lot of inspiration to see that, like you're saying, climate art is something that I think is so beautiful and expressive. And sometimes processing everything that's going on with the environment can be very heavy, and it brings up a lot of emotions. And even Sadie's song is really emotional to listen to. So I think art is a way of kind of processing all the traumas that we're going through with climate, and kind of just expressing how we feel about it in a way that feels liberating. And I just think that I, in the moment while I was making the graphic, I didn't know that, but now looking at it, it is that, which is kind of unique and like weird, but I think it's quite beautiful that it's this form of expression that we all have to kind of process everything that's going on.
And if you look at the logo, I mean, there's essentially two clocks in it. And so as you parse the thing out and look at it more carefully, one is sort of a standard time clock, which is indicating high noon, I guess, or almost high noon, right? Yeah. That's at the top of the logo, showing that, you know, the deadlines are approaching. But at the same time, you were clever enough to incorporate into the sea of climate what amounts to a stopwatch, which it always suggests urgency and rushing and racing and fast, which are the two time aspects, I think, that the climate minute, which began, you know, which was initially meant to be a short 5-minute podcast, which has evolved over the years, but you've captured the two aspects of time and the urgency of time as it relates to climate change in the logo.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe you didn't even know you were doing that until finally you say, oh my goodness, look what came out. Right.
Yeah, definitely. I think the clocks are really symbolic to what is going on with the climate right now. And like you said, that standard clock is kind of trying to represent like we're almost out of time, but we still have like some like power to do something. And, you know, and the stopwatch is just a really, I love the stopwatch on the sea, because it's just really like fun to look at. Like, I feel like when you first look at the logo, you kind of, your eyes get drawn to that C. And I love that it's a clock, because it really represents the title of this podcast.
Yeah. Well, so tell me more about the, I guess I'm sort of antediluvian and, you know, think of, you know, my Crayola crayons when I talk about color. How did you find the palette? Is there software that gives you these choices, and how, and I guess then that ties over to, you know, in terms of MCAN corporate, which is a corporation, right? I mean, how do you present yourself? Do you have like colors, other colors that are used in MCAN documents?
Yeah, so we actually have colors that we use specifically at MCAN to kind of familiarize ourselves with the logo. And we do have this deep blue, and I played with that deep blue, and I kept kind of playing with the software and I landed on a deep blue. And I knew from the moment that I wanted this logo to be blue, but I wasn't sure what hues of blue I wanted to use. Mm-hmm. And when I landed on that blue, like I said earlier, I really liked the contrast between the white. And I just thought white is a really modern color right now. It's what is being used a lot. It's kind, really? Kind of a classic color. So I knew I wanted the white. And it just looked so beautiful against that like kind of deep blue. And I liked that it tied in with the MCAN color. So it kind of just worked out. And
And you know, as I look at it, it seems like the font, which shall remain nameless. I mean, all the way the font exists, dear listener, go look closely at the logo. It's as if those letters are almost like hands on a clock. Right, they're right. Thin, elegant lettering, right? So it all hangs together in terms of, you know, timepiece and, you know, counting time, which is in a sense what we do, right? And you didn't even know it. See, I guess that's the beauty of being an artist, right? You end up doing things, then you look at it in retrospect to say, yeah, I see a connection there. Now I know why I did that.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at this graphic, because I feel like, yeah, I really wanted to emphasize time, and I think it was done in such a unique way. And yeah, I agree with what you're saying. The font is quite beautiful, and it ties in all together.
Yes, yeah. And what I like about this is that how do I want to say this? Do you think much about the difference between, shall we say, digital branding, right? That's a buzzword for the modern times, right? It's something you see on your cell phone versus something that you might see like literally on paper. So, I mean, MCAN generates documents that are printed out, right? And handouts, right? And those have a color scheme and you're trying to make those distinct. And at the same time, is a point I keep making is that the size of the imagery online can vary wildly depending on what browser you're using, right? Do you have any connection there? Or do you think that it's more or less continuous that you can use the sort of images on both sides of the digital, you know, digital and print stuff?
Yeah, I think digital provides a lot more flexibility in the sense that it's easier to edit, and there's so many options now on the internet just with colors, branding. There's so much variety that sometimes it can be really hard to edit. And I think print is much more different in the sense that everything's kind of finalized, and digital can be kind of like this endless hole of like different fonts, different colors, different variations. Uh-huh. And there's something really beautiful about that, but it can also be very overwhelming.
I'm sure.
So so editing is very important. But yeah, that's a great question.
Well, so I guess, I mean, the other question that I like to touch on, mm-hmm. Is the question of how people like yourself come to use their unique skills to address climate stuff. Right, so I've made the case over and over and over again that there's a place for everyone. And I think, as Greta Thunberg said, there's a U-sized hole in the climate minute, and only you can fill that hole, right? And so look to yourself as to what your skills are and see if there's a way to use them. And you have seen, you are using what's clearly an artistic skill to work on climate issues. The question is, how did you end up at MCAN? Were you looking to get into the space? Was it an opportunity that presented itself?
Definitely an opportunity that presented itself. And I've always been very, like, I did a lot of graphic design work at UMass Amherst. I was the graphic designer for the Latino community over there. So I did a lot of that. So I had some experience, and I worked at a few places doing graphic design before MCAN. And I think MCAN has been challenging in the best way, because I really want to translate really complex ideas in a way that's easy to like digest for an everyday person. Because sometimes, you know, there's all these like acronyms and hard like terms and like laws that are really hard to interpret, even for me. And I think what I love about my job is kind of creating these simple graphics that are impactful and still give the reader a really good understanding of what's going on, because it can be really overwhelming to keep up. So
absolutely. Yeah. You're quite right. And I think that the in this age of, you know, how to present information, as you say, there's so many varieties. It takes a real skill to tease out the things you want people to grab and then be good enough to sort of attach, I mean, for lack of a better word, color and form to it so that people can easily grab the stuff, right? Because it is a complex topic. I mean, there are, we can go down the rabbit hole on some of these things where you end up with, you know, six different acronyms, right? I mean, it's just, I was thinking about something before of, you know, is hydrogen good or bad? And there's blue hydrogen, pink hydrogen, gray hydrogen, brown hydrogen. It's like people's eyes roll back in their head. So the way of presenting something that's crisp and clear is, well, that is great. That is great to hear. I think that I appreciate what you have done personally to make this wonderful logo. I think that I hope all of our, I guess they're listeners, maybe they're viewers if they look at the logo, but if they're, please check out the logo. It's a beautiful thing. Fatima, I really appreciate you taking the time to do it. You clearly, I appreciate your effort. I so much appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and tell us about it. And I wish you all kinds of fun going forward. I think that's what it should be, fun doing this good thing that you're working on of trying to address climate change.
Yes, this was so much fun. I think it's an honor to be here. I love your podcast, and I'm so happy that I was like selected to be a part of this process. And I just thank you so much.
Well, you've done yourself proud. You've done the show proud, and I appreciate it very much. So what we'll do is we're going to put up some links. We'll certainly, maybe we'll put, I don't know, is this copyright? No, I got to think about that. If you have any questions about the logo or have ideas about what shows we ought to be talking about, things we ought to be talking about, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what your particular path into climate change has been, whether it's artistic, legal, protest, political, all that kind of stuff. Let us know what you think. If you're listening to the show on you're probably listening to the show on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps like Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, blah, 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 blah. You can always find this on Apple and Google. Just search for Massachusetts Climate Action. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We really appreciate it. And we want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investments, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. Maybe I ought to include in there, we have to utilize art to move ourselves forward. But anyway, Fatima, thank you so much for your effort here. I really like the logo, and thank you so much for taking the time to come on and chat.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening as well. This is an honor.
As Fatima said, thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.